Blog Talk Radio.
Life, love, and wellness.
Necessarily the views held by the network itself. Please use discretion when tuning in. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. Greetings and welcome to Truthful Tuesday right here on Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am Sandy Rogers, and it is my honor and my privilege to be your hostess and to guide you through tonight's presentation or tonight's show. So you guys know every week, man, I'll be geeked up and excited to bring you the guests, right, to present this show. And the reason being is that, I mean, these are the world's top-notch influencers and shakers in their communities. And these are normally the people that are not given a platform in which to tell about their work. You know, it's reserved for a few, a very few, but the ones that are really doing the work don't get it. So that's why they get it here. And so without going too far into that, though, we have a wonderful, wonderful expert that's going to be joining us momentarily. But first, you know, there's a couple of things that we always like to do to get ourselves prepared. And the very first thing is that we give praise, honor, thanks, and gratitude to the ancestors, to our ancestors, for always being with us, for being available to us 24/7. And especially on Tuesdays, as we have a tendency to discuss issues that are outside the box, that are not ordinarily talked about in an open setting. You know, people may whisper in a corner or something like that, but not to have an open discussion. And so, ancestors, we're so thankful that you've given us the courage and the strength to stand up and to tell what we have to tell, to share what we have with those around us. And we just know that you got us, man. You got our tops, bottoms, fronts, backs all around us. And we're standing strong because of you. And we just give you love now and forever. Ashe, ashe. Whew. Man, ancestors, they take a minute. You can't just go straight into them and leave them because they got something for you. They want to make sure that we all together. And so the next thing is we borrow some words of wisdom from my inspirational daily message that can be found at revsandy.wordpress.com. And I'm only going to read a small portion of this particular message that's called Flawless Flow, and you'll understand why as we get into our show for tonight with Vanessa and her topic. So this flawless flow is what's going to help us to get where we need to go, right? So flawless is defined as without any cracks, no blemishes, it's whole and complete. Flow is to pour out. So just imagine God, Goddess, at work in your life, gifting you with life that represents a flawless flow. Wow. I had to just breathe that in for a moment. Flawless flow. by the Creator, by God, got us a magnificent vision. So I'm actually going to leave it right there just to give you just a taste of what we're going to be going into this evening. So it's all about life. It's all about love, and it's all about wellness. So tonight's show is called The Empowered Communicator, featuring Vanessa Alfaro. And we're going to be getting into Vanessa's area of expertise very quickly. However, audience, you know you're welcome to call in. You're invited to join in the discussion between myself and Vanessa. All comments are welcome, and we encourage you to call in and ask whatever question, make whatever comment you would like to, because we enjoy the interaction with your voice, audience, to be able to, you know, ask us and say we're doing good or you need more clarification on something, because we need for the message to be very clear to you. Our call-in number to the show here is 516-531-9819. And whatever device you're on, you would need to touch the number 1 on your device, and that will alert us that you want to speak live on air. And because of the quality that's associated, the phones are very, very picky, right? And so any background noise can be easily picked up. So once your line is open, if you're not speaking, if you just put your phone on mute, then that would ensure a higher quality. A lot of our listeners come back repeatedly to listen to the shows, and some just don't stay up quite this late to listen, so they listen to it at a different time. And that's all. That's all I ask of you. So if you would like to go back and listen to any of the broadcasts that have already played, you can do that by going to www.blogtalkradio.com/Sandy Rogers. That's SandyRogers. You're listening to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am so excited to bring Vanessa to the mic. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then when we come back, we're going to bring Vanessa up to the mic. Be right back.
Talk to God. He leads me on my way. I get to God and me. Leave me on my way, get on with my day. Ooh, talk to God, yeah. Talk to God just a little bit. If something's on my mind, I know the perfect time to talk to God.
Yes, yes, yes. That's my nephew, everybody, Anthony A.K. King. And you can find his music on his website, anthonyakking.com. And that particular song was called Talk to God. So thank you and welcome back to Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. I am so excited, you guys. This is going to be an exquisite night. Just buckle up, get your paper and ink pen ready to take your notes, because Vanessa gonna bring it like that, right? Look, I just met her and already feel like she's my best friend. So whew, we got it going on. So tonight's show, you guys, is the Empowered Communicator. And Vanessa is an anger and communications coach, earned her expertise by way of her own learned lessons in life. She speaks very plainly to us about how we can manage our lives in good and bad times, times we all share at some point along our journey, right? So Vanessa has created a unique therapeutic healing modality which deals specifically with conflict management. The process helps to heal and release anger from our bodies. I think a lot of us don't even realize that we're holding that stuff in ourselves, right? And so although her focus is women, her knowledge will help men as well. Vanessa helps women heal their hearts and empower women in a special sisterhood by taking care of business with our own touch and energy. So I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. So this is our last show in April, and we have a powerful powerhouse that's going to talk to us and get us on this thing, you know, where we come to terms and we make friends with those things that we have in our life. So I'm so excited that Vanessa has agreed to make some time in her busy schedule to come and be a guest with us. Welcome to Life, Love, and Wellness, Vanessa.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so much. What a beautiful, lovely introduction, and I'm very excited to be here and just so happy to be in your field. I already feel a lot of love.
Oh, I'm glad.
Yes,
so,
I do.
Good. So Vanessa was telling me right before we started that as a child, she was painfully shy. But I haven't picked that up, you guys. I haven't found that evident in anything that as far as we've been talking and sharing very briefly, because I want to find out at the same time that you do about this magical person that came highly recommended by a mutual friend. And so, Vanessa, how did you get started? How did you managed to be so successful and find the right program and words to match what's going on in our communities today?
So, you know, how I got started, I was raised by my grandmother, and her home was filled with the people all the time. It was rarely quiet. It was rarely silent. It was always busy. And I would say around 8 years old, for whatever reason, I have no idea why, I was completely alone in the living room. There was no one around. And I was sitting on the living room floor. I was looking at my grandmother's wall with all the pictures, and it was very quiet. And I just heard this voice, this thought inside of me, and I was looking around, and I knew there was more to life. That's what I heard. There's more to life than this. And so that inner motivation and house light within, you know, that guiding light is what propelled me to go after what I wanted in my life. And so, you know, my work started a long time ago, and I started off with getting an education. That was very important to me. I was the first person in three generations of Mexican Americans on both my mother and father's side to receive a degree. So I was just on this path of knowledge. And at the same time, simultaneously, I was also, you know, my grandmother, it was a very difficult upbringing. There was a lot of rage. She was rageful. I was surrounded by rageful adults, and this was something I had to contend with as a child. And when I became a teenager, there was one family member in particular who was very abusive towards me. And I started to fight back, and I used my rage and the learned behavior, what I witnessed in my family, how to use your rage to fight back, and I used that rage to fight her back. However, this wasn't something I was proud of. It was painful, and it was not how I wanted to be in the world at all. And I longed for kindness. I wanted love and respect and appreciation. And so acting ragefully towards other adults, it was a shameful process. And so I tried and worked really hard once I left my home environment to not behave this way. So so managing and dealing with my rage has been a lifelong journey. And it wasn't until I got married years later that my rage really resurfaced. And I thought, I need to figure something out here. I have to do something about it because all this controlling isn't working. My body was telling me, my body was saying, you're exhausted, this is too much, you're holding back in your life, and I knew it was connected to my rage. And so then I researched and I developed this process called the anger algorithm, and I knew it was the answer right away, and as soon as I found that out, I thought, I have to share this with the world, and I have to tell people about it because it's powerful.
Wow. I would have never expected you to say that. And that's why I love waiting until you're actually on the show to find out what actually makes you tick. And God, that had to have been exhausting as a child to have all of that commotion going on inside the house all the time.
Oh, Sandy, you are naming it right there. It was utterly exhausting for me as a child. And I didn't have it, you know, I was on the go. And one of the strategies that I used in my life to survive was to just do. I was handling business in my house at a very young age. And while my grandmother supported and took care of a lot of people, she was also very sick. Her health was declining fast. So I had to really step up into adult responsibilities. So between that, not having parents, you know, worried about her, and then navigating all the commotion, like you said, utterly exhausted. And one of the things that I've discovered in my healing process is that the women in my life, including my grandmother and my great-grandmother, it was unsafe for us to rest. It was unsafe.
Wow.
And this is right. This resonates, I don't know, for how many people and how many women, like, is it truly safe for us to rest? I mean, rest, nervous system settling down, lying in bed, just totally at ease in your environment, resting.
Wow. I never thought of it like that, though. You know, that's truly deep. What about your mother? Now, you talk a lot about your grandmother, and you just mentioned your great-grandmother. What about your mother? Was she around, or?
So my mother, she had me at a very young age. She was 19. She got pregnant. And, of course, you know, back in the day, you know, we were raised Catholic, and, you know, abortion wasn't a thought. And so she and my father got married because she got pregnant, and that was the thing to do. And my mother, it turned out, it just didn't work out between my mother and my father. My father, unfortunately, very sadly, he was a raging alcoholic, and he just couldn't get it together for the life of him. And so, you know, he has his path and his story, and my mother was on her own at 19 with me. Well, she ended up falling in love with some man, and my mother was a rageful, jealous woman, very rageful as well. And she was always fighting with him over some other woman, and something was always going on. And then at the age of 3, when I was 3 years old, and she was with this man. Well, they were arguing one day, and she asked my grandmother, or, you know, we called her Mama at the time. She asked Mama to take care of me for the day so that she and her this boyfriend of hers could work it out. And they did, and she called my grandmother later in the day and said, I want to pick up Vanessa because we're going to the fair, and I want Vanessa to come with me. And my grandmother heard in her voice that she had been drinking, and she said, no, leave Vanessa here, pick her up tomorrow. Well, I wasn't, you know, my grandmother was this guardian angel, because what happened to my mother and this man that she was with, they ended up drinking and driving. He drove up on the wrong side of the freeway, and they all died. She died instantly.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, wow. You know, I my soul was born into rageful families, and this, you know, I've had rage on my mother's side, rage on my father's side, and this is big work that I've been called here to do. And so,
yes, ma'am.
Yes. So that's why I had to figure something out to contend with my own rage, because I spent the better of my part of my life just stuffing, holding it in. And as you said, this powerful energy is in ourselves. It's in ourselves, and it's in our bodies, and it is wreaking havoc. And I had to figure out a way, talk about that exhaustion. I had to figure out a way to release this without hurting myself or anybody around me for the sake of my health and my well-being and my healing. Yeah, so
that's amazing.
So that's yeah.
No, seriously, you know, I say that from a place that sometimes we think that it only happens in our neighborhood. You know what I'm saying? Or it only happens down the street or something, but a lot of times we don't give thought that this stuff happens in all kinds of families.
Yes.
So nobody's excluded. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all in this thing together. So, wow, that your story is really something.
Yes. Thank you for acknowledging that.
Oh, yes, ma'am. So do you remember if there was a word that was used to explain the attitudes of the people, especially the women? Was there a word that your grandmother or great-grandmother used to to say what was going on in the house. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yes, I know exactly what you're saying. And, you know, that's such a, it's such a beautiful question, Sandy, because here's the thing in my family is that there was no talking going on in my family.
Mm.
There was, like, my grandmother was born here in the United States. But a lot of people don't know this. Shortly after the Great Depression, the government enforced the Repatriation Act. So all Mexicans, whether United citizens or not, were forced back to Mexico.
Wow.
So my grandmother and also my father's parents, but my grandmother, she and her family went back to Mexico, and they had to hustle. They had to survive. They had to figure out their way, and then eventually they came back to the States. But my grandmother had a third grade level education. Now, she was a wise woman in that she could handle shit. Like, she handled a lot. She ran a household. She hustled. She could cook. She could build things. She was amazing. And she also just was very silent. So everything that went on in her life and her history, she kept it all in. So interacting with my grandmother was just very pragmatic. You know, like, when do you go to school? When do you come home? Are you doing your homework? This is what's for dinner. You got to clean the house. It was just like, there was no talking about emotions. There was no talking about history. There was none of that. It was just like handling business for her because she took care of a lot of people.
So were these people like extended family members, cousins or something like that, or people that just came across from Mexico once Hispanics were allowed back in the United States? Who were these people? Do you remember?
Right.
Do you
so,
know?
Yeah, absolutely. So my grandmother had 8 children. These people were her children, and
gotcha.
and their partners, their spouses, their children, and then she definitely would take people in. So she would take in folks from Mexico, house them, help them get on their feet. She would help out her children's friends who needed help. She was just a very giving woman. She gave so much. And, you know, and it really was at a cost to her health and well-being. So, she wasn't one to talk. So there wasn't a word out there, you know, in my family, because we just didn't talk about those things. But I saw me as, you know, I attribute this to the loss of my mother and just being extremely sensitive as a child. I was very aware of her. I was paid a lot of attention to her, and I could just feel her energy. And I often would look at her. She would take these little breaks and sit down in the kitchen, and she'd have a banana and a glass of milk, and she would just be sitting there, just quiet, silent. And I would just look at her wondering, what is she thinking? What is she, you know, I'd want to ask her questions, but I didn't, you know, just that's not how our relationship was. So she had a lot going on. And as I reflect back now, I know she was often worried and very stressed about the next day.
Yeah.
So, you know, while she was a very tough, stern, strict woman, she was very loving and caring. She did the best she could, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for her because she handled it. And honestly, I don't know how she did it, but I do know that it took a toll on her. She died at a very young age. She was in her early 60s, and she was very sick towards the end of her. Yeah, very sick towards the end of her life. So, yeah.
So do you feel that you do the work that you do to honor her or to perhaps provide an answer to women that may be going through the same type of stress and heartache? And because it appeared from your talking that your grandmother and your great-grandmother neither had a place to vent, you know, to talk about this, to get it out of them and to look for some kind of way, a healthy way to deal with what they were going through. Do you think that that's part of, like, your calling to do this work?
Absolutely. Absolutely. My healing, the healing that, so the thing about my, I was raised in a very matriarchal family because my grandfather was not around. My grandmother left him at some point in their marriage, and she left him and raised and had 8 children and a mortgage. So she was on her own, and she had a couple of relationships here and there, but they were violent, abusive relationships. And at one point, she just stopped seeing men. She was done with a relationship and having a man in her life. So when, as far as I could remember, for the most part of my childhood, she was single. So here she was alone with all these people to take care of, that she chose to do that, a mortgage to pay off. She was fierce. My grandmother was a rageful woman. So, you know, the rage was under the surface. And when she just couldn't take it anymore, she'd have a rageful outburst. And it was difficult. It was sad. It was abuse. My great-grandmother was a fierce woman, and she has her history as well. And she also expressed her anger and her rage, and it came off as meanness. So that's how they expressed it. There was no talking. There was no processing. There was no therapy. There was no help. It was just handling business. And if you're out of line, we're going to handle you. So that's just how it was. And so, so this work that I do is this deep cellular healing that I do on my heart, mind, body, and soul using the anger algorithm and then all the other healing modalities that I've engaged in. This is for me, and this is for my ancestors to help support them in whatever they need healing. And it's like it's for them, and then it's for everyone else out there and all the women. Like, this is like universal soul work here.
Yes. I love that. Yeah, because, you know, they say that as you heal yourself, you heal 7 generations back and 7 generations forward. So, yes, ma'am, you got it when you're saying that this is for you and your ancestors, and it's also for those that are coming ahead of you, too. So, your story is so touching, you know. It's because it encompasses so much more of the history of humanity than what I was aware of, and I have been very purposeful in my life to make sure that I always included other ethnic groups, you know, in my circle, and my circle just always kept growing, you know, larger and larger and larger, where most people did not do that, but it was something in me that said, no, you know, you got to learn about as many people as possible. And so for you to bring this history into the mix, that after the Depression, the Great Depression, that all Hispanics were forced back to Mexico, you know, it kind of caught me a little bit off guard because I wasn't aware of that. But just how much people had to suffer through that lived in this, these United States of America, it just never, I don't know what the word is, you know, it's always more to learn about what we don't know about what happened here in this supposedly quote unquote great place called America. So,
you know, there's so much history. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, I was just going to say, I mean, I could feel why your great-grandmother, your grandmother and your mother were filled with so much rage. They had no support. They had these babies that they needed to take care of. And just God bless your grandmother who took on the American dream of buying a home on top of raising 8 kids by herself. Oh, my God, are you kidding me? That had to take it all out of her, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sandy, you are feeling it. Yes.
I am.
Yes. That right there, Sandy, what you just said, lack of support, how many women feel that. This is a generational thing. There's no discrimination here. You know, like there's like every woman can resonate with that. How many women yearn and long for that support? Well, I tell you in my family, right? My mother, my father was briefly in the picture. And when they got married, he joined the military and he would send her checks, but then the checks stopped. And she was wondering what the hell's going on. She tried to contact him, never heard back again from him, so no support. My grandmother, right, out of, you know, to have a better life without my grandfather involved, for everyone's safety, she made a choice, but that she didn't have that support. My great-grandmother, you know, she has her story, but the same thing. That's the same thing. Where was the support? And so this is huge, huge for women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, Vanessa, it's the same across the line. You know, it's what women are lacking.
Yes.
And So tell me about your program. You got several of them.
I do. So I have a 10-week program and that's deep work. That's working one-on-one with me. It's an online course I created, and of course meeting with me weekly through Zoom. And the foundation of my program is the anger algorithm. So this program is called From Anger to Empowered Communication, and it is just a deep dive into, you know, these are for women who really suffer from anger, who struggle with anger, who can't access anger, or, you know, have really been so vulnerable and just said, I need help with this because I can't take it anymore. So this program really helps them come to terms with their anger, helps them see the patterns and the conditioning. It's a deep dive into the self, into their soul. So I offer that. And then all of my work is, of course, is rooted in, and the foundation is the anger algorithm. So that is like the gem of it. And then, so that's my main offer. And then I actually have something coming up in May, which I'm super excited about. It's a 2-day immersive here in San Francisco, and it's called Rest Your Anger With Me. And it's my first in-person event, so I will be facilitating the anger algorithm.
Wow.
And you know, it's teaching women how to work through it. And you know, this is a lifelong tool. This is a lifelong practice to engage in and to work with. And as I do the work with the anger algorithm, what I'm finding is that it's helping me to release the trauma from my body. And this was unexpected because I developed the anger algorithm so that I could just release my anger and rage. But over the years, what I'm finding and what my client, you know, what's being revealed with my clients is like, no, this is serious, deep trauma release work from your body to open up your heart to connect more to the divine. Yes.
Yeah. So I was going to ask you, so that anger algorithm is your signature program, correct?
So the anger algorithm itself is actually, so algorithm means a logical step-by-step process. So the anger algorithm is the actual process that I use. It's there are eight steps in it. And this is what I use to help my clients move through the full expression of anger so that they can experience what's on the other side of anger. Because many of us, So many of us were not taught how to express anger in a healthy way or even what to do with it. So the anger algorithm helps you move through it, express it, get to the other side of it, so then you can decide whether or not you want to have an empowered conversation and you can navigate conflict. Like, this is the whole point of it. And of course, this does go back to my family, because one of the issues, you know, one of the issues in my family is that my family members couldn't work through conflict. Like, it was just always a mess. People were yelling and screaming and fighting, and there was never resolution. And so that's been a really big thing for me. It's like, we have to be able to work through conflict. We have to be able to talk about our disagreements and disappointments and misunderstandings in a way that is, yes, we can have our feelings, but that we're actually going to work through it and bring some emotional maturity to the experience so we can come to an understanding. So the anger algorithm's juicy. It offers a lot.
Right. And so, like you said, you use your own experiences within your family to gauge it, right? Like, to make sure you have the right mix of everything that needed to be in there to address the different specifics of what that anger looked like and felt like.
Yes, I am a student of what I've created, and the creator has told me the creation is like, I've been using the anger algorithm since I created it, and creation is like, you got to put this to the test and keep doing your work to see how far you can go with this. And it has created massive healing in my life that I'm just like blown away by.
Right. I bet. That's awesome. I love it because sometimes we have a tendency to think, well, I'm going to take this class. I'm going to take this class one time and then everything is going to be resolved. And what's funny about that is that it's like from years and years that you experienced that, whatever it was, neglect, abandonment, being made to feel unworthy, whatever, you know, but you think you take one class and now it's all over. You're like, nah, you're just beginning. This is the start of it.
Right?
Yeah. So I love that. Yeah. That is bringing you such healing. That's what's so important. And although you, from what you said, you created it to help others, but you're like the primary benefactor. That is so cool.
I have to be. I have to walk the talk. I cannot offer this to the world if I'm not doing it myself. You know, I have to, and I've been doing it, and I've been working with it. I work through, I use the algorithm all the time to this day. I've just recently though been going really deep with it to see like can these you know ancestral traumatic wounding, can it really be healed? And Sandy, I am telling you, yes, because I right here am a living soul saying yes. You know, I am the most, I would say, grounded, settled, and healed, and just like supported within than ever before in my life. And I attribute it to releasing rage from my body.
Wow.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes. And and my clients have experienced serious, significant transformational results. They didn't necessarily have the trauma that I had. You know, we all have trauma.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they've experienced remarkable results as well, but I keep going deeper with it, and I am my, like, I'm the student and the teacher and the witness and the observer and all of it, and I'm saying, yes, this works.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That I love it. I absolutely, because you know, you're the one that has been courageous enough to step up and say, okay, I'm going to put my life out here for everybody to see, and we're going to use my improvement, my ability to release, and my ability to heal to show the effectiveness of what I've created. And that is a lot, Vanessa. That's a lot.
I know. I'm called to do it, though, because, Sandy, there's no other way for me to live. This trauma from my past has haunted me. It really has. Mm. It has created, you know, a lot in my life that in my inner world I've had a lot of suffering. And it's like, I mean, we're here to live glorious lives, to have fun.
Yes.
To play, to have adventure, to see the goddess God in everything and everyone, and that's where I want to live. And so I am willing to do whatever it takes to heal my heart, to bring me closer to that goddess God within.
Hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you're talking about language,
so,
girl.
Okay, I know. I loved when you said God is God. By the way, at the beginning, I was like, "Yes, we are meant to be on this call together." You know, and so there's no other way for me to go. There just isn't, and so I am willing to do what it takes to heal, so that I can experience like this joy that my little girl couldn't experience as a child. So I'm making up for time right now. And, you know, we have one shot, this body right now, this one shot. And you better believe I want to make the most out of it. I am not playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whew.
Yeah.
You know, and it's such a courageous move to step up, you know, before the firing squad and say, okay, here I am. This is what I've lived through, but I'm going on the other side of it. And in order to go on the other side, y'all got to get all in my business, but I'm okay with that because I know on the other side is my healing. On the other side is possible healing for you too. If you keep up and you follow the steps that I'm outlining as I go along this process. Ooh, Vanessa, I am so thankful I have this opportunity to get to know you better and to feel the work that you're doing, because it's definitely a feeling to it, you know. It's not theoretical, you know. It's not book knowledge, and you can feel it and hear it as you're telling us about what it is that you're doing in your program. It's awesome. Mm. It's awesome.
Mm. Thank you so much, Sandy. Yes, and you know, it's, I appreciate you acknowledging that. Well, first of all, some people have asked me, they're like, why are you writing about like this pain and just putting it all out there? And, you know, all of us have our stories, our trauma, the darkness, our families, we all have it. And if my story helps somebody else make a decision to get help, I'm going to share my story. And I'm going to keep it real, and it's okay. So there is that. And just this felt sense, like you said, you know, I've studied a lot. And my work is rooted in you know, meditation and spirituality and nonviolent communication. I will tell you, though, that my work, the anger algorithm, comes from my body. And this is hard for academics to really hear, because this is a felt sense experience, a heartfelt from my belly, from my body speaking to me, saying, you got to figure something out here and find it and do it to heal yourself. And I stand, you know, like 1,000% behind my body, because our bodies are these majestic spiritual vehicles from creation, and we have forgotten to listen to our bodies. So
yes.
I'm listening. Yes.
Whew. Yeah, man, I tell you. So how long have you been doing the work now?
So, well, I started
since age 8, huh?
Right. Yes, you know, my soul chose these families, so my soul was ready. Are you still there? Because there's a silence here. Okay, great. Okay, so you know, I've been doing this work for a long time. I didn't really start on a spiritual healing path until my early 20s. And then I've just been engaged in personal growth and development since then. And, you know, as far as conflict resolution and having difficult conversations, that work started, I used to work at private independent high schools here in the Bay Area. So these are very predominantly white, extremely affluent, powerful institutions, and being a woman of color, I cared very much about diversity, equity, inclusion. So I wanted to have those conversations. I wanted to talk about power, privilege, and race. So I really started engaging in those conversations in my career out of graduate school. So I've been on this journey for a long time. And then it was at my last teaching position that I decided to leave high school teaching and then start my own business. So I started my business in January of 2017. You know, and then during my marriage, I had developed the anger algorithm, and I knew I wanted to share all of this. I knew I wanted to help people with conflict and peace and anger. And so it's my business has just really honed into on the anger piece, though, because it's all connected. Like the anger algorithm, not only does it help you move through anger and get to the other side of it, but it also gives you a framework for having an empowered difficult conversation. So I've been at it really my whole life.
right. Yeah. I get it. I do. How long did it take you to create your program?
So I created, let's see, the 10-week program that I now have, it took a couple of years. It started off actually as a 2-day weekend immersive for women, and then I turned it and then I offered it in as a workshop and with different time frames, and then I turned it into this online program. So I have it comes with a workbook that I created. It has modules and a previous recording of a workshop I had done. So it's very interactive, very engaging. It's very, like, it's an inward journey into yourself. So it took a couple of years to get that together. And then it was during my marriage that I created the anger algorithm. And then just throughout having my business, I've created tons of different programs and workshops and all sorts of resources. So,
okay.
It's just been an ongoing thing.
And your life kind of sounds like mine with, you know, the number of different programs that I've produced or created. And I'm just happy to see you out here doing the work and making a difference on so many women lives. And, you know, as you're impacting the female, you naturally are impacting the entire family, and especially the man, the husband, the, you know, head of household, whatever title he is wearing, being in that position. And so particularly, I think, for women, and help me if I'm not clear with this, when we heal women, we heal everybody. We heal the family.
Absolutely.
We heal.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Women, you know, women's healing, because we live in a distorted masculine male dominated world, as you know. This is
mm-hmm.
just how it is. You know, there's no like blaming, shaming or judging. It's just how it is. And we are all energetically out of balance in those masculine feminine energies. And even as women, even for myself, I will absolutely speak to, you know, I've been doing my entire life. I've learned that doing, that survival, that masculine, I'm going to handle it, and haven't really allowed myself to be and to rest and to surrender and to nurture
mm-hmm.
and to hold
mm-hmm.
and to like love and to feel. And so this healing we all need, as humanity
right.
needs it. And so women, you know, we are powerful beings, and we need
mm-hmm.
to restore that balance within ourselves. And it is a ripple effect energetically. And as women restore this in themselves and heal themselves, it impacts their children, and it impacts
mm-hmm.
their partners, their spouses, and absolutely, and it affects it, everyone benefits from all of us who are on our healing path. Everybody
mm-hmm.
benefits, no matter how it looks or what we're doing. So yes.
Yeah. And a lot of times, as we're women, are out taking care of everybody, you know, and I heard that so loud and clear with your grandmother, who was just tired, you know, but
mm-hmm.
she had already taken it on to be that source of, I guess, salvation for the whole family. You know, she was there to feed, clothe, take care of, handle whatever situations came up for the different family members, and it just wore her out, you know. And for her to have made her transition so early in life, you said in her 60s, you know, that's pretty early for a person these days. But I get it. Now she had a lot on her plate, you know. So we bless her.
Yes.
And we appreciate her. Yes. For all that she gave to you, and she gave you that spirit of finding a way to make better. I can't think of another terminology to make better those situations that she had to endure to raise her family. You know, it just gives me so much compassion for her, you know, just to consider, you know, what all she did and how she did it. She sacrificed herself. Well, I'm glad you received the baton from her, and that you are doing all the work that you're doing with such an unselfish motivation to get this thing corrected, you know, to make an imprint on your life and everybody's life around you, because you could have been just as bitter, if not more so, than your grandmother and great grandmother.
That's
here,
right,
you are,
Sandy.
Now fourth generation, actually, not third, but fourth generation. Of all of that stuff.
Yes.
Well, I applaud you.
Yes.
I applaud you.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you for honoring my grandmother. I called her Mama growing up. And I honor her every day. You know, she's been my guardian angel throughout my life. I feel that. You know, I had a dream about her one time years ago. I was on some sort of cleanse. I was doing something, and I saw this woman, and she was helping clear me out. And I ended up having a dream that night, and I saw my grandma. It was like at this fair, this sort of inside this really big, kind of like the Cow Palace here in San Francisco. It's like this really big warehouse event center. My grandmother was there, and she was at the table, and she looked healthy. It wasn't her older self. It was her and her vibrancy as I had remembered her when I was very young. And I was so happy to see her, and I was crying, and I was, you know, hugging her. I said, I miss you so much. And she was just hugging me and smiling. I said, don't you miss me? And she looks at me and she said, no, because I'm with you all the time.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So, and yes, I could have losing my mother, having a father who's an alcoholic, being raised in very tough, painful, toxic environment. My path was not like my destiny, and the route I could have gone was, it could have been super, super destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose a different path because I wanted to end the cycle.
Right. And that gives you just a whole different motivation, doesn't it?
Yeah. Sandy, there's no turning back. There's no turning back.
Yeah. Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. There's no turning back. It's just like, okay, keep going here. Keep going. Yes. and surrender and be with it, you know, I'm learning how to keep going, though, with, like, some spaciousness. And I'm breathing, and I'm going to take time to just chill, and I'm going to look out the window and drink my tea, and I'm going to take a nap. But I'm going to keep going here. Yeah.
I love it. I love it because the work is yet to be done. You know, we've got people that write plays that offer their depiction of issues that they choose to address. And then there's you that have lived and want to end that pain and suffering for yourself, and then you find that you got all these other people that are right there with you, you know. And when we shine the light on these traumas, it gives us all permission about the not so pretty stuff in our lives, you know, and that helps us to get started, to have the freedom to bring it up and to bring it out so that we become lighter by not having it as a part of us, like you said, you know. You want to end the cycle. It's time. It's our time to do that. And I think we've been blessed, Vanessa, with the strength and the fortitude, the examples by our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, even, you know, like your mother was, she didn't get to that point where you are, you know, so you're doing it for her too, because she was really probably impacted the most out of those four generations with, she found her hope or her coping mechanism in the bottle of alcohol, but it didn't do anything for her but make her unresponsive to life. So
and this is really tricky here, these conversations in our trauma, because yes, we have trauma from just the circumstances of the world and world events, but what a lot of us have closeted or have hidden away unconsciously is all the trauma that happened in our families. And it's sad. It is sad. And we don't want to talk about it. We don't want to look at it. You know, there's a lot of shame, there's a lot of guilt, there's a lot of fear. It's tricky. It's really tricky, and it does take courage for people to really look at the trauma that they've endured that came from their family. It hurts. It really hurts. And so yes, it's this work isn't for, you know, the faint of heart. It really takes a tremendous amount of courage to say, okay, I'm going to deal with this, and I'm going to look at my family stuff, and I'm going to do it with as much grace and integrity and messiness as I possibly can, and it's all going to be welcomed, and this is how it's going to go. And you just have to really, though, want that healing for yourself. You really have to want that.
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You are just phenomenal. So I know we've been going on and on. Audience, if there is anyone with any questions, comments, anything that you would like to ask of Vanessa, now would be the time. We're going to continue talking, but you have the next 17 minutes. Give us a call at 516-531-9819 and make sure that you hit the one on your device that will let us know that you want to speak live with us. Again, we're going to continue on with the discussion because this is too good to to stop. And I hope you guys are whatever it is that your soul and spirit is in need of, that you're getting some type of motivation and inspiration from Vanessa as to how you may go about coming to terms with it, to bringing peace to the traumas and whatever else that may have happened that you are still struggling with. So Vanessa, share, if you would please, with the audience how they can get in contact with you or take one of your courses or something, you know, how do they connect with you?
Yes. So one thing I have coming up, and I mentioned this a little earlier, but in May I have a two-day immersive here in San Francisco. It's called Rest Your Anger With Me, and it's a deep dive into anger, and we'll be looking at, you know, stepping into your authority, dismantling your beliefs about anger, going through the anger algorithm, facilitating that process. I'll be facilitating it. We'll be looking at our chakras and the body, and it's just going to be a very rich, deep dive. So that's in May. It's May 20th to the 21st. And you can find that on my website, all the details. So if you just go to VanessaAlfaro.co, it's a .co. So you'll find me there. And then, you know, if there's anybody listening and they want to learn how the anger algorithm can help them specifically with their challenges with anger or communication or, you know, navigating conflict, they can book a call with me that's free. If they go to callwithvanessa.com, they could fill out a little questionnaire there and book a time to chat with me. And so if they want to learn more, so those are the two ways, my website and callwithvanessa.com.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for giving us that information. And it's really good to see that you're including energy work, like, you know, the chakra portion of the workshop that you're doing, because as we start clearing the stuff away, then we need to know what to do with it, you know, so that it doesn't come right back. So very thorough in taking
yes.
that approach. Yeah.
Well, yeah, all right. Maybe, you know, is there a question or?
No. I just was just smiling over here. I have just, this has been so incredible. You just have no idea, man. So incredible. Go right ahead.
So, you know, I will give an overview of the anger algorithm. So it is a multi-dimensional process that is extremely somatic. So, you know, you talk about that energy, it engages your body. There are steps involved that you write the steps out, and you want to interfere with the neurological mechanics causing anger. So this work involves your nervous system. It involves the breathing. It involves writing. It involves reading what you wrote out loud and expression of your anger. So it's a very dynamic process, and that's why it's so powerful, because it's somatic and it involves your body and it moves energy. And what's brilliant about this process is that many of us don't know what's on the other side of anger. Well, mm-hmm. we get angry because we have these unmet needs in us that are universal. And these needs are needs for affection, safety, love, communication, community, healing, transcendence, understanding. These are universal needs we all have. And when they go unmet, we experience frustration and anger. So when you move through the full expression of anger using the algorithm, you really get to what's under your anger and what you really need, because particularly for us as women, a lot of us don't know what we want and need because we are caretakers and we tend to put our needs, we put everybody else's needs before our needs and we don't quite pay attention to what we're needing. So this is a really beautiful process to get you deeply connected with yourself and your inner wisdom and to really start listening to your heart so that you can get really clear on what you need and you can talk about what you need. Yeah.
You know, I've heard it mentioned by various thoughts, men, women, New Thought, Muslim, you know, just a wide variety of sources, that the heart is actually the first brain. And so when we choose to use our heart as the measuring stick of our actions, it's filled with compassion. When we have been able to release all of what Vanessa has been talking about tonight, the anger, the shame, the guilt, the rage, because you can't get to that heart. You can't get to that original brain, quote unquote, when all of that is packed on the inside of it. It's shut down at that point, man. It's like, I ain't doing nothing else. You got to give me some relief. And when you do, maybe I'll come back up and try and figure something else out. But we're just overburdening our delicate body system, and we wonder why we have heart attacks and why our hearts give out. It's because we're not dealing with the things that have just been sitting there, unresolved, unrecognized.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Ooh, Sandy, you are speaking my language.
Girl, I'll tell you, we didn't even know it.
I know.
Oh, that's awesome.
I am so happy you picked up on this, on the heart. Because you're right. It's like part of releasing of the rage is releasing the egoic, judgmental, toxic, negative thoughts that get in the way of dropping into your heart. Now, you know, folks might be, well, what does that even mean to speak from your heart, to listen from your heart? It comes from a very still, silent place within yourself, and it's very clear and it's very simple. And so that still, silent, simple, compassionate, clear voice, that's not from all the nonsense and the chatter going on in your mind. That comes from your heart. Our heart beats. It beats. It's in frequency with the universe, with Mother Earth beating and just living. And that beat right there, when you can tap into it and drop into that beat of your heart and really listen, you are connecting to creation. You are connecting to the divine within. That is the heart brain, and that's what I mean by it.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know we're gonna bring you back on here, but this, I mean, I just know, man. Oh,
yeah,
so perfect, you know, and I love your thoroughness in developing your program in the way that you have, and the whole motivation behind it of healing yourself and in using that as your barometer, then everyone gets to benefit because from the way you've described and expressed the rage that was present for you in your life. I think you started at age 3, but you know, like, so that's all your life regardless. You know, even if we go to age 8, that's still all your life where you've experienced this and you want to shake it off, but you want to do it and you want to do it in a way that clears it up, not put, you know, like some covering on it and then it's going to resurface in another 2 years, or, you know, you cover it up a little bit more, but then 6 months now, you know, it's back raging again, so that when we dig deep like what you're doing, Vanessa, oh my God, we get to get rid of it forever.
Yes. We pull that weed out from the root, I tell you. We pull it out from the root. You know, I have experienced so much healing in my body, and one of the biggest things that has come out of it for me is the settling of my nervous system. My inner child knows finally, like a felt realization, a felt sense in my body, my inner child knows in her body that she is safe to play, she is safe to rest, she is safe to laugh, she is safe to be silly, to have fun, to be adventurous, to be ridiculous, to be whatever she wants. This is a felt body sense because I've been doing some gardening and some weeding and planting, you know, planting the trees and the flowers and pulling out the weeds from the roots. So it's been work, but it's been worth it. Yeah.
That's so good. Yeah. That's really just awesome. Just awesome. So we still have about 5 minutes, but I want to give these contact information again in case you didn't have a piece of paper or something to write with before. So the website is Vanessa, V-A-N-E-S-S-A, Alfaro, A-L-F, like in Frank, A-R-O, .co, just co, and then to get on to have a discussion with Vanessa, call with Vanessa, and that one is .com, com. So I just want to make sure you have those two differences and that you know how that last name is spelled, Alfaro. I know you guys are going to be looking her up and asking and getting in one of these programs. Oh, my God. All right.
Yes.
What else? Yeah.
Yes.
So what else you got for us? We have about 4 minutes left.
Okay. Well, you know, Sandy, I just want to say that I had been already percolating, you know, chewing and thinking I want to, because I've been telling my story about rage and my family, and I also have been wanting to share and write about and talk about, you know, my ancestors and the history of rage and what they experienced and, you know, the oppression and having to relocate. And it's this is the first time on a podcast that I'm talking to someone about this. So you just like channeled the ancestors and tuned into those. Oh yeah. And tuned into those questions to give me a space and a platform to share this with folks because I've been wanting to share it and now here it is and I'm sharing it. So I'm really grateful to you for just channeling that and calling it in because it's something that I will talk more about and definitely write about. So thank you for giving me the space to do that.
Well, I'm honored that you would take advantage of that and to use it in the way that you did. I did feel them, you know, the ancestors, they'd be on me, you know, they'd be like, look, we didn't give you this show. Do what we want you to do with it, right? So I have no choice. Oh, but thank you for that, Vanessa. That means a lot to me. Yeah, it means a great deal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because so much of the time, you know, like your grandmother sitting there and just, you know, like I'm sure just shaking her head because they had no outlet. They had nowhere to, you know, to sit and have a radio show going on to talk about the issues or, you know, have a circle of women sit around and talk about how are we going to correct this and how do we, you know, they didn't have that, you know, and they did the best that they could with what they had. And so even though our world may have been turbulent with them, we also have to have a lot of love and respect for them as well because they didn't give up on us.
That's right. That's right. And I hold it all. I hold it all.
Mm-hmm.
I hold all of that. And, you know, I've had to work on this. This has been my journey too. Part of my healing is to forgive my family and really to forgive myself because I engaged in my own self-destructive behaviors to try to contain my rage because I didn't know what to do with it and I didn't want to lash out and take it out on others. So I took it out on myself and it was painful. It created so much suffering. And I also want to say that like, I get it. And I've had to work on forgiving myself for those places that I took myself to just try to cope because I didn't know what to do. And I was doing my best as a young adult and a teenager. So I love my family and I've forgiven family members. I'm still working on, I will be honest, I am still working on forgiving some of them. And I just feel my heart continuing to open and to just keep seeing that, you know, all of us have these things in us and we just all navigate and work through it differently in life than others. And that's just how it is. And I'm just seeing people in the world and with a really different lens, and it's coming from a deep place of compassion and understanding because I've done the work to really understand myself and to have compassion and forgiveness of myself.
Yes, yes. Powerful. Like I said, we're going to have you back on here with us, and we're going to continue this discussion at some point in time. It's powerful. It's very powerful what you bring to us, Vanessa. And again, I am so thankful that you were able to spend this time with us tonight. And we just all love you and appreciate you. And we salute you in the work that you're doing. So I'm just going to show our appreciation to you there, just a tad bit. Let you know that you are loved and appreciated by Life, Love, and Wellness, the Sandy Rogers Show. And we'll have you back. We're going to invite you back to come and sit and talk with us some more. And we'll appreciate you and God's blessing in everything that you undertake.
Thank you so much, Sandy. I'm so grateful for you and your listeners. And I love you and everyone out there. I have so much love. And I love my family. And I want them to know that. And so thank you.
Yes. You're welcome. All right, you guys. Look, this is the last Tuesday of April. So we start off next week with our numerologist, Brother Lavelle Rouser, and giving us the predictions for the month of May. Can you believe it? We're already into May. And so you guys tune in again next week. Same time. We'll be right here with Brother Lavelle and his numerology report for the month of May. I love you guys. Take care. And again, our sincere appreciation to you, Vanessa. We love you. You're our family.
Oh, thank you, Sandy. I love you too, and I love
you're
you
welcome.
All. And thank you for tuning in and listening.
That's right. All right. We'll see you guys.